Hey, folks, this is Pastor Mike, and you're listening to our Wednesday night Bible study online. We hope you enjoy this, and you can hear more of our sermons and teachings at www.visitbethelchurch.org. God bless you, and have a great day.
All right. Now we're on to Act 2, Scene 1, the Bethel Playhouse. Good to be here tonight. Are you glad to be here tonight? Say amen.
Amen.
If you're not glad, say whoop-de-doo. That was awfully tempting, though, wasn't it? It was awfully tempting. Yeah, Lisa said, I almost did it. Good to be here tonight. I hope you did some. Hope you did your homework. Did everybody do your homework?
No.
I don't know if I gave homework. Yeah, I don't know if I gave any. You should have studied the Bible, though, this week. That's what you should have done. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 is what we'll be studying tonight. Hello, Gary and Stacy and all you guys back there. Good to see you. Stacy still was. Is that his Bible he's got there? His handbooks? Okay, he's still looking for a song to sing. All right. Amen. This verse has been in question. In fact, when I mentioned it a couple weeks ago, somebody wrote me an email, said they're glad I'm dealing with it. So I hope I meet your expectations, but I just hope I get this one right as far as doctrine is concerned, as far as being right. I want to get this one right. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. I heard from Kay or Gary, one of the two, said they had made it to the hotel in Dallas, and they couldn't set up tonight because the Koreans were in the way. Is that what it was? The Koreans, okay. The Korean Christian, okay. And I don't think we have anything in Korean that I know of. So anyway, but maybe while Gary's there, he can find somebody to translate our videos into Korean. That would be neat. Because we had a couple here a few weeks ago. I don't know if you remember them. They came and visited on a Sunday morning, and he was an American and she was Korean. And they stayed for lunch and had a good visit with them. We had a church dinner that day, didn't we? Thanksgiving dinner. And so it was good fellowship with them, good talk to them. And so anyway, maybe there's a need out there. I don't know, but maybe there is. But anyway, so pray for them. They get everything ready tomorrow. And Lisa and I and the boys will be flying down there tomorrow and getting up early in the morning. What time do you get up to go to work? What time do you get up to go to work? 5:30. I'll have you beat by a couple hours. Yeah. Oh, she'll get up before I will, I guarantee you. And Caleb, he's going to sleep in his clothes, so we'll just scoop him up, throw him in the van. But anyway, looking forward to going out there and meeting people and just talking about the goodness of the Bible. Amen. It's right. It's 100% right. And tonight's teaching, really, to me, the King James Bible just really lays it out perfectly. There's really no way to, once you just read the scriptures, no way to misunderstand this. So I hope you get it tonight. And we had a lady, Gloria, is that her name? Talked to her on the phone this afternoon and wants us to pray for her son. And I told her we would. And we had a good talk and good visit with her. And I told her I'd mention it tonight. We're going to pray for her son. She knows the situation. I know the situation and God knows the situation. So you just lift them up tonight. Do we have any prayer requests tonight before we take off flying here? Yes, Rose. Okay. Sure thing. All right. Bonnie.
Two prayer requests. One's for our niece.
Mm.
Marionville. Was there, some days you could call and talk to him, some days the nurses said she's not listening.
Yeah. Then it's bad when they're on the phone with Roy and they say, "Where are we?" And Roy says, "I don't know. I thought she was with me." Yeah. It's all right. We will pray for them, Roy, and just lift them up before the Lord. Jimmy.
My sister, when he got killed, she has her kids are in bad shape.
Okay.
My mom told them if they ever want to see their mother, they got to straighten up.
Yeah. Good deal. Well. So you keep praying for him. Whose car alarm's going off? Okay. Or maybe there's somebody breaking in it. Who knows? But anyway, so we'll pray for Jimmy's family. His sister was killed. Yeah, Keith, and I was going to mention Brady and Amanda tonight. They told me they're both sick and down with the, I don't know, flu or cold. There's stuff going around. So pray for them. Pray for Keith tonight. Pray for that family. Yes, sweetie pie. Pray for Lindsay tonight. Lift her up. This is a bad time for us. Okay, Brian. Okay, pray for Brian and Andrea. All right.
Just remember you and Elisa and the kids on that plane.
Yeah, pray for us. Pray for, let's see, it'll be Alicia and Lindsay and Rose in charge of the place the next few days. Oh, my goodness, what have I done? Yeah.
By noon.
Yeah. So just pray for them, all right? Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Pray, lift up one another. Pray for one another. Pray for your family tonight. Pray for your church tonight. Pray for lost people tonight. Pray for the people that we mentioned tonight. Pray for me. God would give me a good spirit. He'd give me boldness to say what needs to be said, and I'd do it in love. I can do it easily in the flesh. I don't want to do it in the flesh, Jared. Not interested in that. I want to do it in love. And so just pray about that. Heavenly Father, I love you, and I thank you, dear God, for the wonderful grace, Lord, that you've given me. And Lord, Father, just the blessing of salvation, the forgiveness of sins. Lord, the mercy that you've had on all of us, God, we thank you for that. And Lord, you're just very kind to us. And Lord, we pray this lady that called today, Gloria. Lord God, you know what's in her heart and her son. And I just pray, dear God, Lord, that you would just help her tonight and be a blessing to her. Lord, show her, give her wisdom, dear God, as a mother. Lord, just guide her, and guide her family. And Father, Lord, for other families that were mentioned here tonight, there's people that are lost. They need to be saved. And they just don't realize, God, that life can be snuffed out in a moment. It can be taken away. Lord, you said that your coming would be in a twinkling of an eye. And I just pray, Heavenly Father, God, Lord, that all of us tonight would just perceive the reality of the brevity of life, dear God. Lord, if there's anything in our lives tonight, dear God, that's not right with you, God, we ask you, Lord, to remove it. Take it far from us, God. Help us to not justify our own sins and our own actions and our own deeds. But Father, Lord, lay them out before your throne, dear God, and help us to, Lord, do it in boldly, not with fear. Lord, that we can turn to you, Lord, in our time of need, in our time of mercy. Father, just bless us tonight and bless our study of your word. Help us, dear God, to look upon your word in honesty, Lord, and truthfulness, God, in the spirit, Lord, that which you wrote it. I ask you, Heavenly Father, God, Lord, that you would guide my thoughts and my lips tonight. As I stand before these people, dear God, it's an awesome thing. It's a big thing, God, to tell people, Lord, what you've said. I don't feel, Lord, most of the time that I'm qualified for that. And I'm asking for your help tonight. Lord, would you rise and give your servants bread, Lord? We've got a long journey in life to keep going. And Lord, Father, we get tired, and sometimes we're not sure if we're going to make it. We ask you, Heavenly Father, God, Lord, that you would lead us and that you would guide us. We love you. We thank you, Lord, for the word. We thank you, dear God, for the spirit that you've given us. Ask your blessings on us tonight in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 is what we're going to be dealing with. And we covered last week the things that Christ has done for us. Our response to that, the things that we would naturally do because we have the Spirit of God in us, and this is what we want to do. And so it says in verse 26, it says, "For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries." And then it gives you an example. "He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much more sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite," or despite, however you want to pronounce that, "unto the Spirit of grace." And so the key here, and this is a question that I have had in my mind at times past, and God has helped me answer this question and has helped me with the Bible in answering this question. It says, "For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins." If you're in here tonight and you have ever heard this verse and thought, "Oh no, I've done it. I'm not going to heaven now, because you sinned after you came to the altar, you knelt at your house," or wherever it was. If you've ever thought that, maybe nod your head, raise your hand, or whatever. You've been fearful that now you read that verse and you go, "Oh no, I've sinned." Okay? "I know I've sinned since I've been saved. I know that I have." Does this verse in fact teach that if we sin after we're saved, that as of that point we have no more, there's no salvation? It's over with. We're done. We're going to go to hell. That's a big question. It's a question that I've asked myself. I've thought about that verse, and I remember hearing that verse one time and sweat started pouring out of my head. Oh no, I've done it. What am I going to do? Is there nothing left for me? Have I gone too far with God or whatever? And now there are groups out there, and you'd be surprised. The groups are growing. There's all different types of legalism moving into the church. Performance-based salvation tells you, you have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this. There are even groups, Jared, that are telling people that once they truly get saved and are born again, they just won't sin anymore. But if they do, they're not saved. Or if they do, they need to get saved all over again, or just all manner of things. But there's actually groups out there. There's one group that promotes keeping the Old Testament law, doing all the feasts and everything like that, that actually say that once you are truly born again, God gives you the Spirit, and you keep, and I've read this on their website, they claim that once that happens, you will absolutely keep every law of God perfectly and never make a mistake after that. And when anybody like Brother Sterling here shaking his head, they would look at you and say, "Well, obviously you're not one of us." Okay? And really, I'll be honest with you. God forewarned us about that kind of stance. He said it brings boasting. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should do what? Boast." And when I see the works people moving in, what I see is boasting. I see a lot of pride, a lot of arrogance, a lot of looking at you going, "Well, it's obvious you're not one of us." Okay? Because they believe and they claim within their heart, and they claim openly, that they have reached a perfected state. They keep all the laws of God absolutely perfectly, and they do not sin anymore. Okay? Now, number one, that kind of doctrine, that kind of idea, it leads to two things. Number one, it leads to boasting, and it leads to arrogance. It leads to looking down on people. Number two, it leads to rampant dishonesty. Because the fact is, they do break God's law. They do sin. But in order to maintain the appearance, what they do, number one, they're just going to be dishonest about it. Number two, I've even heard, I had a guy that belonged to a denomination that believes this idea that once you get saved, you're perfect. And I asked him because he had run into problems at his church, and there was just a lot of stuff going on at his church, and he came here and just kind of told me about it, and he sent me, he wasn't here very long, visited a couple Sundays, and then I think he moved back to Texas. But I asked, knowing that denomination's doctrine, I asked him about that. And he said, well, it's actually, they actually, you know, make it pretty simple that what they do technically is not a sin. Okay? So somehow, some way, you're going to have to lie or be dishonest or alter the Bible somehow, some way, so that what you're doing is no longer a sin. That's how you can maintain that. Okay? So if we look at this verse, we look at it and say, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. If this verse does not mean that after you get saved, if you sin one time, that's it. There's no more salvation for you. If it does not mean that, how can it not mean that, number one? And number two, what in fact does it mean? And I believe in words. I believe that the apostle did not just pick random words to put a sentence together, nor were they the words of the apostle Paul. We have to remember something that's always should always be in our mind when we read the Bible. This is what God said. Amen? Holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So this is what God said. And God knew how to put the right words in every place in our Bible, including our English translation of the Bible. He knew how to put every word in here. And I want you to, the focus here is on the word for if we sin, how? Willfully. Sin willfully. That, and we all know what that means. We don't need a dictionary. It means with our will. All right? So the first place I want you to go is I want you to turn to Romans chapter 7. I undoubtedly have taught on this before, and I know that just not too long ago we did a study on the book of Romans, and so I'm just going to be covering this again, but I think it absolutely fits in here. And I was reading this one day, and I was just picking up on the language that Paul was using here. And we all know English, we all speak English pretty well, we all butcher English enough. Amen. Okay? We all butcher the language, but we all know English, and we know the words that are in English. In Romans chapter 7, I want you to look at, let's start at verse 14. Here's what Paul said. And he's talking about, in Romans 7, he's talking about the dual nature that you and I have as a Christian. Who in here wants to go to heaven? Raise your hand. Amen. You want to go to heaven? Okay. Who in here wants to live right? Say amen. Okay. Do we always live right? The answer is no. So there's not really anything wrong with you. You have a dual nature. Because you are saved, because you're born again, there is a new man living inside of you. Keith Crum knew this the day after he got saved. And he had never cracked a Bible open a day in his life. Right here, his boy has been reading Bible and religious books all their life. And Keith Crum, in one day, understood. He told Brady, and he said, I just feel like I got somebody living on the inside of me. Amen. 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 That's the Spirit of God telling flesh and blood. His boys did not teach him that. Right. I didn't teach him that. He had it in him, and he knew it. And he still knows it, by the way. He still knows it. Okay? But you have a new man inside of you. And that new man is renewed daily, the Bible says. And one of these days it's going to be formed perfectly. The Bible says, till Christ be formed in you. And so on the day of our resurrection or the translation or whatever that is for you, that's when that new man is going to be, is come to fruition, and you're going to shed off this shell of a body. You're going to have a new body, and it will never sin, just like Christ never did. It's coming. Wait for it. Amen. Wait for it. But we still have a flesh nature. God did not indicate anywhere in the Bible that he was going to save the flesh. He's not interested in saving the flesh. The soul is what he's saving. And so with that in mind, here's what Paul said. He said, let's see here. Verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. His inner man doesn't allow coveting, lying, stealing. His new man doesn't allow that. For that what for what I would, W-O-U-L-D. You know what that is? That's a tense of the word will. You see that? Okay, if your wife tells you to do something, well, I would have done it. Okay? Or you can say, I will do it. Which means it's part of your will, your desire. It is what you have every intention on doing, but it is part of your will. I will do this. I will do this. And the word would is part of that. It's part of your will. And Paul said, for what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. And so Paul is telling, he said, in my spirit, my will is to follow God. My will is to obey the scripture. My will is to live right. My will is to be honest. My will is to pray more. My will is to read scripture and study. And my will is to have more faith. And my will is to perform what God said for me to perform. To obey what He said to obey. That's what my will is. And there are times when, and Jesus Himself talked about the war that's going on. The spirit and the flesh. Everybody's spirit is that enmity against your flesh, and your flesh is that enmity with you, against your spirit. Do you? How many of y'all know that? Say amen. When you have the new nature in you, when you have the new man, the hidden man inside of you, and you sin, your flesh commits a sin, that inner man grieves inside of you. How many of you know that? That's how you can tell that your will is still intact. And that what you want to do, what you would do, is obey God. But what your flesh does is disobey God. Okay? So he said in verse 17, now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth what? No good thing. For to, and then look, and then we'll look at what he said. For to will, there's the word will right there in case you had any doubt. For to will is present with me. Right now, I want to obey God. I want to serve God. It is in my deepest, uttermost desire and will to please God with everything that I do. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. It's like maybe you decided one night that you were going to pray. And you were going to pray till midnight. You were just absolutely, God, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray till 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to stay up all night and I'm just going to pray and read my Bible. That's your will. Then what happens about 11:30? Your flesh. And you try to stay awake, but you can't do it. The body just gives out. You know why? The body's weak. It can't hold up. Okay? Does everybody understand that so far? But your will wanted to stay up all night and pray. Who in here has ever fasted and failed? Wayne, I would fast when we had a daycare here, and Kelly never failed when I would try to fast here. She'd make meatloaf. And she made meatloaf in muffin pans, little individual muffins of meatloaf and brown gravy and rolls. And I remember one time I kid you not, I was in here praying, fasting, and that meatloaf smell came all the way up. And the devil carried the wind and was tapping me on the nose. And I said, God, I can't do this. I broke the fast. I went down and ate meatloaf. Now, there's a reason why you're not supposed to tell everybody that you're fasting, all right? Maybe it's to save face when you don't quite. I have, however, fasted. And on days like that, I just told my flesh, forget it. I need to spend some time with God. I need some. Your flesh, there are, don't get me wrong, you're not a slave to your flesh by any means. You can overcome. God gives you a way of escape. Okay? But the truth of it is, our will, for me to will is present. I have a presence about me that wills that I serve God. But how to do that, I don't know how to do that. My flesh is an untamed animal. By the way, what does the New Testament tell us is the most wicked part of our flesh? A tongue. Book of James, go read it. Yeah. Our tongue is the most wild, untamed part of our flesh. Okay? Here is one big reason. That's one big reason why I do not believe that you can speak words and provoke God into action. By your words. Because of your tongue. Okay? You can, however, cry out unto God, as I have done. Okay? And it's interesting to me that, it's funny, I had a dream last night about being electrocuted. And there was a reason for it. The heating pad I had on my neck before I went to sleep, I have used it so much that I didn't know that the wires had come out of it. And they had burnt, and they shocked me on my neck. That wasn't fun. And then, to top it off, I have a dream early this morning that there's an electrical wire in the kitchen downstairs, and Lindsay wants me to hand it to her. It's coming apart, and I grab it, and it swings down in the kitchen like this and hits me on the leg. It is electrocuting my leg. I didn't like that. But when I was under the house, under the force of that electrocution, and I was fixing to die, I was able to pray, God, I don't want to leave my wife and kids, without ever saying it. And just like that, it let go. Okay? It doesn't take a tongue to get a hold of God. It takes a will. Takes a will. Okay? So you follow me on this so far. If you're saved, then you have a regenerated will. You have a will and a desire to follow God, even in the worst of times, even when your flesh is at its worst. You have a desire to still want to know and to follow God. You don't want to burn in hell. Amen? That's your will. Okay? So now let's go back then. And look at this verse in Hebrews 10. Look at it. Look at what it says. For if we sin, how? Willfully. If we sin willfully, which means now our will no longer wants to serve God anymore. Forget it. I ain't coming back to your church. I don't care about your Bible and your little stupid prayers and your songs. I don't care nothing about it. I've seen people with that in their mind. I've seen it, but there's almost a look in their eye. They sin willfully in that they don't want anything to do with it anymore, ever again. Period. They're done. I believe it's possible if we sin willfully. After that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. It's just like earlier in Hebrews chapter 6. In Hebrews chapter 6, we have the idea of, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Both of those are saying the same thing. It is impossible. It can't happen. See, do they they're going to try to crucify Christ again. And back here it says, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. He died one time. If you reject that, too bad for you. You don't get a second chance at it. Okay? Now, I'm not talking about being backslid. I've seen God pull in backslidden sinners and all kinds. I mean, I've seen that happen. I've been backslid before. Probably you have too. And God's called us all back. And I'm not talking about that. But I will tell you, make sure that your will and your desire is always toward the house of God and to His Word and to the Spirit of God.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Let's examine that from Scripture. Let me just go through some Scriptures very quickly. You can write these down or just kind of listen to me tonight. In Mark chapter 3, verse 35, the Bible says, "For whosoever shall do the will of God," this is Jesus talking, "whosoever shall do the will of God, the same as my brother and my sister and my mother." Now here's, I like this, Wayne, because you know what, how Jesus said this is in the direct context of, there was a woman, Jesus was teaching and doing all these miracles, and there was a woman that jumped up and said, "Oh, blessed are you, and blessed is the paps which thou hast sucked." You know what she was saying? Here was a woman that was wanting to praise his mother.
Amen.
And Jesus said, "Oh, no. Whosoever shall do the will of God, the same as my brother and my sister and my mother." Okay? By the way, Jesus didn't let anybody worship his mother.
Amen. That's right.
Didn't happen. Okay? He's not kneeling before her right now either. Amen? Amen. That's idol worship. Anyway, whosoever shall do the will of God. Does God have a will? Yes. Does God have a desire? When your desire matches the will of God, you're right. Everything's good there. God has a will for your life. Whosoever shall do the will of God, the same as my brother and my sister and mother. Romans chapter 1 verse 10. Paul said, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Here we are talking about the will of God. And Paul had just basically laid out his life according to the will of God. Did you know that it was the Apostle Paul's idea to want to go eastward into Asia with the gospel? That's where he wanted to go. And God wouldn't let him. He said the Spirit restrained us. It pulled us back. And instead of going eastward, it went westward, up into Europe, over into England, and then it's been going westward ever since. If you stop and think about it, from Jerusalem westward, that has been expanded for the gospel. What has happened from Jerusalem eastward over into China and the Orient? Those people have been heathen, idol worshippers for thousands of years now. For some reason, that's the way God wanted it. I don't understand that, but that's how God wanted it. Okay? And Paul, he had to go along with the will of God. Romans 8:27. "And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." The Spirit. And this is talking about the Holy Spirit. Did you know the Holy Spirit helps us make intercession and pray according to the will of God? And so the charismatic movement, a lot of the Pentecostal movement, is based, Brian, upon the idea that you have faith-filled words, that you command God with your words. They must be totally believed, everything that you say. You've got to really, really super, super highly believe it, or it won't happen. That's what they tell you. Mike Marks is a friend of mine from years ago. He used to go around with the name Big Mike. He was a children's minister. Very gifted at dealing with kids. You remember him, Rose. We had him here a couple times, okay? I mean, he would do all kinds of stuff with the kids. He had such a way with them. And he loved the gospel. God has saved him out of a lot of terrible things in his life. And he used to be Rick Shelton's youth minister, children's pastor, which means that him and Joyce started at the same time. Well, Joyce knew Mike. He had a good voice. And so she hired Mike to be her radio announcer. For years, he's not anymore, but for years, this guy was Joyce Meyer's radio announcer. And now, here's Joyce. That was him. Okay? And then he would talk about the special offer of the day. For your gift of $25, you'll get this cassette tape. All right? So that's how it works. And he sat down with me. We were having lunch one time. He sat down with me and he said, Mike, he said, I'm thinking seriously about leaving the charismatic church. I said, really? And he said, I don't think it works the way they say it does. And he said, I have a friend. He said, I know him. We went to church together at Life Christian. He said, this guy did everything he was told to do. He had a business, big business, made a lot of money. He gave large sums of money to the church. He housed evangelists when we'd bring them in. He was always at the church doing something. He said, because he was told that if he performed and said enough stuff and did enough stuff and had enough faith, that God would make him wealthy. And he was operating that way for a long time. And he said, then all of a sudden, he got sick. He got some kind of disease, and his health went downhill. Because his health went downhill, his business suffered, lost his business, and then his wife took the kids and left him because he didn't have no money. So he goes crawling into Rick Shelton, the pastor, the Word Faith, pastor, and says, I've done everything I was told to do. What's wrong? Pastor Shelton said, obviously there's something that's holding back your faith, or you would have victory over these things. He said, I couldn't believe what I heard. And Mike was telling me this. He said, I know the guy. He goes to a different kind of church now. He said, he'll never darken the door of another one of those churches ever again. And he said, I think he's right. I think he's right. Because they teach you that unless you say the magic words and say it with the positive energy of your mind. See, you got to have positive energy, not negative. I know a lady that if I said who she's related to, you'd go, oh, because you know her. She used to work for Joyce Myers. And I've heard her say at times, oops, that was a negative confession. I shouldn't have said that. Oops, that was another negative confession. You see her here say that all the time. Because she had been talked into this witchcraft theology. That if you said, man, that about cracked me. I laughed almost to death over that. If you say that, you're actually proclaiming your own death. You're going to kill yourself with your words. They're serious about it. They're serious about it. And they say, if you say words like that, you read their books. You read Joel's books, you read Joyce's books, you read his other. They'll tell you, if you say words like this, you're negatively confessing things. Can I tell you what that is? It's called the law of attraction. Law of attraction is one of the basic laws of witchcraft. Witchcraft says if you say the right words and think all the positive energy thoughts, if you think that you have a lot of money in your bank account, then you will start acting like you have a lot of money in your bank account, and then all of a sudden you're going to have a lot of money in your bank account. I watched Kenneth Copeland with Creflo, the dollar guy, on their little Bible study talk about how if the handle breaks off the toaster, throw it away and go buy a new one. Because if you say, well, I can keep it and still use it, they said that's poverty thinking, and that is destroying your wealth potential. They say, well, I don't have enough money to go buy a new toaster. Go buy it anyway. Because now you're filling your faith with your actions. And they convince people of this enough so that they say, now here's the final step. Write me a check for $1,000. And if you don't have it, write it anyway. You won't have it until you send it in. See, it's a scam. And right here, the scripture teaches us that the Spirit, Romans 8, the Spirit searcheth the hearts and knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And so in the Spirit-filled life application Bible, they will tell you, don't ever pray the words, "If it be thy will, O God." Don't ever pray that. You have destroyed your faith, and God cannot work. Wait a minute.
That's a lot.
What'd you say, Linda?
It's God's will.
It's with me, it's God's will or nothing.
That's right. Amen.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Well, that's not translated right. You see how that works, Jared? If the Bible says it right out, I can go right back to it and say, now in the original Greek, here's what it really says. Oh, you mean it doesn't really say this? That's right. You see how slick that is? The devil has slipped in, and I'm telling you, it is in every church, retranslating the scripture to make it say something other than what it says. It's everywhere, people. And if it's wrong for Joyce to do it, and it's wrong for Creflo to do it, it's wrong for me to do it.
Yeah.
Amen. The Spirit of God knows more about what you need than you do. You see, most of all we know is what we lust after, what we covet. Okay? That's not what we need. The Spirit, and we don't even know what to ask for. I tell you, I've been to prayer 1,000 times saying, God, I don't even know what to ask for, but I need your help.
Yeah.
And the Spirit says, I know what to ask for. I'll make sure that you get exactly what you need. Do you know what that is? That's like going to your doctor and telling him, now listen, doctor, okay? My cartilage on my knee, it has a tear right here and 3 centimeters down at here. What I want you to do is put an injection here at this point here and at this point here. And then 3 months from now, we're going to operate on this thing. And I want to do it with a local anesthetic because I'm going to tell you exactly what I want you to cut out.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Oh, no. You wouldn't tell your doctor. In fact, if you even came close to that, your doctor would say, who's the doctor here?
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
I mean, some of them get a little cocky on that thing, all right? But you know what? They know a lot more about your kneecap than you do. Most of them. Okay? Anyway, that's the will of God. Get in the will of God. And by the way, it's find out the will of God. Young people, Matthew, you guys, Isaac. Right now, you're under mom and dad. You want to know the will of God? Ask dad. Dad's going to tell you. Okay? Caleb, Matthew, you want to know the will of God? Mama will let you know. Okay? Mama will let you know the will of God. But yeah, the will of God is right on the end of this spoon right here. But at some point, mom and dad are going to be doing this. You need to go find out what you need to do with yourself. And in the process, learn how to pay your own bills. Okay? Put your own food in your mouth instead of meat. Okay? That's when you start looking for the will of God. Young people, I want to tell you something. Find the will of God for a mate. Okay? Find the will of God for a mate. God bless me. And I dated a couple girls when I was in high school that were not in this church. One of which, we actually got into a fight over doctrine. And we broke up over doctrine. Okay? Can you? Yeah, we did. She said, I wasn't saved, Jared. That didn't sit well with me. I don't want to kiss her no more if you tell me that. Okay. But anyway, God actually, knowing what he wanted to do with me, because I didn't know, he put me back here with a girl that was already here. And that's how it happened. And I said, sure, God, why not? She's cute. I'll take it. Okay? And God's blessed us all this time. Okay? And used us. Okay? So ask God for a mate. Find out his will. Okay? And God will show it to you. God will lead you in that. He'll put you just, there it is, right there. That's what he'll do if you'll ask him. Okay? Find out God's will for your employment, a job that you're going to have, where you're going to work, what you're going to do. Okay? I mean, if someone wants to hire you and they want you to sell cigarettes and whiskey, I don't think that's a good job for you to have. Okay? I wouldn't say that was in the will of God. Okay? So ask God what he wants you to do. And he'll lead you in the right way. How many of you adults say amen to that? You know that. Okay? He'll do that. So that's just a little thing of the will of God. Romans 12:12. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, the renewing of your mind happens when you get saved. All of a sudden, you don't want what you want anymore. That's what got you in all the trouble you were in. Now you want what God wants. So he renews your mind by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Galatians 1:4. The Bible says, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. So here's the thing. If you are willing to follow God's will is what leads you into life everlasting. That's where God wants you. But by the way, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Somebody say amen. That's the will of God. God wants the worst dirtbag sinner. I guarantee you there's a guy sitting up at this bar right here, right now, tonight, that God wants in heaven. And who knows? Maybe one of these days somebody sitting up there is going to be there. Because wasn't it like 20, 30 years ago some of you would have been up there? See how it works? Boy, that's a good God. Amen. Ephesians 5:6-5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart, not necessarily with your flesh, although it'll come out in your flesh, but doing the will of God from your heart. Because everybody here knows that you can perform a function, but your heart's not in it. Wayne, can I talk about you for a minute? Okay, Wayne's just tickled death to be retired, aren't you? Oh, my God. And, you know, we prayed for this guy. You know why? He was doing the motions. But his heart wasn't in it. Right? Did I say that right? Okay. And he wanted out. And God blessed him. He said, see, you can come in here and do the motions. And there's churches across this world that are full of people that are performing the works.
Yeah. Amen.
It's not saving them, is it?
Right.
It's the heart. Amen. What do you want? Why are you here? Jared, why are you here tonight? You wanted to be here.
God told me to be here.
Amen. Okay. See, it's your will to come to church. I didn't call you up 5:30 tonight and say, I expect to see you tonight. Okay? We don't take attendance. Amen? We don't send out a form saying you missed 3 services. Stinks to be you. Okay? We don't do that. I don't make you come. I'm not making these people watch. They're doing it because they want to. Their will is toward God and toward the will of God. That's how you know. So then if we sin willfully, that means you have turned your... See, it's your will, by the way. And I believe in free will. You got a choice. You can turn that will because it's your choice. Okay? Be careful. Keep your will toward God. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. I got a plane to catch. Boy, if I was smart, I'd just go to the airport now and nap until... I'd have to go through the... Of course, I ain't packed. Neither is she. I say that. I did send my suits with Gary and Kay. At least I'll have something to wear when we get there. Okay? At least I will. Heavenly Father, Lord, I don't want to get your Bible wrong. I don't want to get it wrong. And Lord, I'm learning more every day. And I love learning from your Bible. I love just keeping the words the way they are. Not trying to make them something that they're not. And learning from the way that you did it. And Lord, there's so much wisdom to be gathered from this. Lord, we ask you tonight, keep our will to you, Lord. In fact, just take it and just keep it, Lord. Lord, help us, dear God. Help us, dear God, so that our will is always to you. That's what I want more than anything, God. Will you take and keep that which I've committed unto you against that day? Lord, will you do that? Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us tonight. We love you. Bless our church. Bless these young people tonight that have listened to this. Lord, help them, Lord, for their will to be your will. Bless us tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. God bless you.
Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God. And I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believe in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, God used to, is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life, and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept his free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in his word, and God has never broken his word. God promised in his word that he would forgive you and that he would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.